I think essentially higher self helps us for two reasons. One is exactly the same as why we would help anyone, which is that it is our path, and it is our nature. Our path is to fully express our nature, and our nature is surely, you know, love, light, and laws of coming out of the law of, you know, free will, love, and light. So the essential qualities of will and love and wisdom, fully actualizing that is the nature. Fully actualizing true nature is our path, and therefore service to other, any other or other self, is absolutely natural a foundational aspect of path to further develop all we are, which is to express our true nature and to actualize true nature. For higher self, that's just the same. The other is that higher self has a certain metaphysical responsibility for us. In, you know, there's only self and other self, only the one self, or all self is the logos, all beings are the one, are logos. That truth of unity is known by higher self in a way far greater than we do know. And so, mind-body-spirit complex is, you can say, an emanation body, or a projection out from Atman, or the sub-sub-logos that is Atman. In a certain way, akin to others that we may help being other selves, but even more intimate than that. So it's similar to parent-child, or ocean helping river. You know, the mountain lake that then streams down into countless rivers down the mountainside to the ocean. It is in the nature of the mountain lake to support and nourish the rivers that stream from it. That there's a level of identity between mind-body-spirit complex and higher self that is even more intimate than the self, other self nature of us and other beings that don't have the same higher self, although the higher self community is unified in a certain way too. So those two. One, it helps the higher self evolve, and it expresses its true nature. Two, there is a metaphysical identity between mind-body-spirit complex and higher self that is a highly intimate expression or resonance with the reality that all light is, the identity of light is its source, the logos. And so both of these, so there's a certain metaphysical responsibility and then its path. In terms of the time-space continuum dynamic, meaning if higher self helps mind-body-spirit complex, is the higher self changed in its experience as a future self to that mind-body-spirit complex? Yes and no. You see, I always had a problem with Ra talking about higher self as our future self, and some channels and some ET sources talk about they're from our future. There are, you know, Earth's future being coming back to us. The future and the past and the present are all one. That's true simultaneity. So in the view of unity or higher self or true simultaneity, even above higher self really, there is no past or future, it's all now. And so a future self is a present, is a multidimensional expansion of the present self. Or the present self is far greater than the space-time embodied selfhood. The space-time embodied selfhood is simply one subset of the greater logoic octave self that includes higher self and mind-body-spirit complex in 3D space-time. And so, yes, there is exchange, interplay, feedback, transformation. Meaning, exchange between the 3D space-time mind-body-spirit complex and late sixth density higher self, in the sense of associated with the consequences of atmanic intervention in the here and now, having consequences to the apparent future of the mind-body-spirit complex, and consequences therefore therefrom to Atman in so-called future, as well as now. So, to the extent that higher self helps Atman now, higher self is benefiting from the consequences of those helps now, not only in some kind of future. In fact, higher self is really outside the temporal sequence, and so what we experience as future improvement is experienced by Atman as development now, by, in this case, positive consequences of non-infringing intervention. So you see, it's not as simple as higher self says, hey man, eat a good diet and you'll be healthier, and then higher self later gets healthy. More like the soul asks the mind-body-spirit complex in 3D space-time, asks for help now, and listens and takes it to heart and applies it, puts it into practice, is therefore improved, or has a future condition improved from the present. The higher self partakes of that future improvement, both in our future and in the occurrence of the intervention before the so-called future, it seems to me. If you want to get a sense of what higher self is doing in late sixth density, look into the Seth material. The Seth material very much explains or presents aspects, not all of it's undistorted, some just seems distorted and limited, but there's also some very rare teaching in the Seth material channeling that indicates the exploration of consciousness that Atman is engaged with for its own evolution out of 6 to 7. Ra talked about the balance of love-wisdom. It's a very, very fine balance between yin-yang, between electrical and magnetic, between sending and giving, between doing and being, between motion and motionlessness. That's the balance. Between motion and stillness, between sending and giving, giving and taking, or sending and taking, actually, giving and taking. You see, incarnation in a dimension, in any dimensionality, is inclusive of the so-called lower dimensionalities concurrently. So you're not just in third density, you're in first and second and third density now. So the human is not simply in third density. They're in the first three densities from an anchor in the yellow ray third density body. Likewise, higher self is in the first six densities from the vantage point of a indigo ray body. So, I mean, you can say, why are you not in second density now? You are. You're in first, second, and third density now, with the vantage point or the incarnated form of a yellow ray body. Higher self would be in sixth density, capable of experiencing all lower dimensions simultaneously or somewhat, you know, in the same way. And I don't have any final answers. I'm not, you know, I'm not atmanically fully conscious either. So, it's not, I don't know what to say that decisions made higher self level, I wouldn't put it that way. In time and space, in third density, the human level soul decides, chooses its path pretty much by its unconscious tendencies or attachment either to love or control. However, that takes place within the context of a seven-dimensional self and a higher self, Atman, that already has an orientation at the base of its beingness, or at the base of itself as a being, as beingness, beingness complex, sixth density self, that already has an orientation. Basically, I think that's the orientation that it took to get from 3 to 6. And I'm not clear on this, but there seems to be a problem when a third density human soul goes hard on the opposite path to its Atmanic orientation at the base of that beingness. I don't know. It comes from its path long, long ago. Long, long ago. Some entity from a galaxy far, far away took the choice. You see, I mean, how does Atman develop from the Logos? Is it bottom up or top down? I would say it's both. And so it may be that originally you had angelics who didn't have choice, that represented the Atmanic level in the first octaves with free will, in the, you know, free will in the sense of having two paths. So the extension of the law of free will to the sub-logos being its veiling of 3D space-time mind, then establishment of the two paths. At that time, if there was a first, you know, manifestation, you probably had an angelic or archangelic overshadowing that was stand-in for the Atman level at that time, meaning there is evolution, biological evolution up and spiritual evolution down, or biological evolution up, meaning in the beginning, let there be light, intelligent energy, then gave rise to seven dimensions in potentia, but not inhabited, except by angels. They would be coming right out of the Logos and would be helpers at all seven-dimensional levels. Those helpers then, I assume, overshadowed or guided, at least guided the process of material biological evolution from the four elemental states, or the four elements as tendencies of matter, of you know, atomic tendencies, actually, guiding them into from cellular, you know, single cellular to multicellular creatures in lower second density, you know, from the mineral, based in the minerals, building up from single to multi-celled entities, to, you know, development of the nervous system and the brain and all the organs and all that. Coming out of probably the plant. I mean, first, I guess you had the plants, the single cellulars, probably first started as plants and then amoeba and dinoflagellate. And so you had amoeba, single-celled organisms that probably went both ways simultaneously, both into what we call plant, both and the animal kingdoms. And material evolution then gradually built up body forms that were capable of second density and then third density consciousness, while that was overshadowed by who? Angelics? And probably not only angelics, seven-dimensional angelics, meaning angelics at each of the seven-dimensional levels, but also guys from other galaxies or the previous octave who stood in for the Atmanic level that hadn't been developed by free will yet, meaning beings at the level of higher self hadn't entered sixth density, or, you know, wasn't evolution up from single-celled up to Atmanic yet in any in that particular octave, and was both guided by angelics at each of the levels, as well as guys from the previous octave. Where did they come from? You know, where did it start? Ra would say it never started, it always was. Or who knows? Because the whole thing takes place, you know, temporality was born of timelessness. And the whole scheme of time and space came out of something prior to it. But you can't even say prior to it, in a sense, because the temporal is itself timeless. What we perceive as linear time is simply the result of limited perceptual faculty, the inadequate perceptual mechanism that leads to limited concept and, you know, self-associated experience. That is a maya, avidya. And so without avidya and without maya, before avidya, right, before the ten fetters, before the seven-dimensional octaves of samsara, you had pure power potentia without time. And yet, the true nature of the temporal is the timeless, in a way that were the doors of perception cleansed, right, we would see reality as it is, which is infinite, just like that, absolute purification of perception, which really means freedom from the five skandhas, including perception. Gautama, being beyond naming activity, is also beyond samskaric perception. And so, free from even highly expanded perception, free from the arising of all the five skandhas, the temporal would be seen as infinity or timelessness. Well, you put a lot of things in there. First of all, evil is in many ways simply the derivative of absence of light. And I wouldn't say that Logos had bad thoughts, but that the Logos basically established a limited mechanism with a veil. And so third density body-mind-spirit complex, or third density yellow ray incarnation of body-mind-spirit complex, is a limited mechanism with limited perception, and therefore limited conceivability. The abilities to conceive and name and interpret and fashion, you know, experience are limited by the limited mechanism and the karmic stream, the tendencies of any particular being. Within that, there is obscuration and distortion, obscuration of light, or various levels of ignorance. Well, yes. Basically, I would agree. The free will acting upon the law of free will, acting upon the law of love, is the infinite power will of the one infinite creator, infinity, intelligent infinity's infinite power acting on its infinite love, which is the desire that there be fuller experience or expression of its infinity. That's what the love means, and that's the enabling principle, second law, law of love. By those two forces came the Logoi. The Logos is the third principle. The law of light is the logoic principle, actually. And that's the difference between the Heavenly Father and the Logos that Yeshua talks about, actually. The Word made flesh is the Logos becoming Yeshua, but the Word is coming out of the Father. The word is the Logos that comes out of intelligent infinity. So what came out of the interplay of infinite power, will, and infinite love or desire to enable and express came the logoic principle of galaxies, of a galactic center. My sense is that from the establishment of the third law of light, which is the logoic principle, in my view, meaning intelligent energy arises from the Logos, which is a modification, or is derived down upstream from Intelligent Infinity. And so upstream is Intelligent Infinity, and the stream is formulated by the interplay of will and love into the downstream condition of galactic logos that then differentiates further to solar logos, and then differentiates further to Atman, and the negative path and evil and all that basically simply arose by that extension of free will that established a solar logos distinct from the galactic. You see, many suns are not considered solar logos to the Ra, that they haven't differentiated from the galactic, and they haven't established sort of modifications of the laws of light in their octave. When that modification is made, then that galactic becomes a solar, even though it's still a sun. That sun then is what we call solar, or sublogos. And then the further extension into third density with the veil, then beings can establish themselves on the surface of self path, just represents the establishment of a path or a way back to Atman, in which power is developed without love, or their fourth ray is circumvented all the way up to six. And that's very doable, because there is a power that comes from deliberate blockage of 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4 becomes an anchor root of power. When 1, 2, 3, 4 blocked, you know, for those on the negative path, the deliberate blockage and then unification of four rays blockage, 1, 2, 3, 4, surmounted by high development of 5 and 6, making contact with Intelligent Infinity 7. That's sufficient to get one to 6th density, but not further. And that's, you know, the resonance between 4 and 6. You can see entities on the negative path can't do much in 6th density, and they have to switch over, partially because of the intrinsic resonance between 4th and 6th ray. They blocked 4th ray, or the qualities of love, green ray, all along. And they simply can't develop in indigo with that green ray shutdown. But their evil represents basically just a continuance of lower chakra blockage and mind distortions that all are associated with absence of light and love, that are associated with deliberate maintenance of love-light blockage, that because of the establishment of the seven rays, still doesn't prevent ascension to sixth density, but it does prevent ascension into and through sixth density with that green ray blockage. So I don't think it's the logos had bad thoughts, or the logos thought, oh, let's have some evil, but the logos knew, I guess, that there would be the potential for a service to self path arising, and felt that was fine, and wanted to see what would happen, and at some level doesn't know, even though it does know. It's really, that's a sort of strange thing. The degree of knowing of what we call future that is intrinsic to those beings in sixth density and up that we would say are out of time, their knowing is limited, or they play along with limited knowing, or they suspend their knowing voluntarily for various reasons. But the negative path is simply using the associated chakra blockages and evolving to sixth despite them. Yes, the existence of the service to self path definitely can be traced back, it seems to me, to the original discernment of the concept of finity. Ra said the creator discerned a concept, the concept was finity. That discernment is a sentient recognition, or consciousness associated recognition of the possibility of something, of an experience that could be called or known as finite. The concept of affinity is a thought in the mind of the infinite that then, yes, immediately mobilized the infinite will, infinite love, or mobilized the infinite will with, I would say, the intrinsic love of that discernment affinity. You know, why did the Creator even discern that? Because the Creator itself seeks something. The Creator itself is not static. It's not an infinity of completion, or it's an infinite completedness that never ends. It's a ever modulating or ever changing, ever active infinity that is both complete and never ending. You know, it's a dynamo of infinity, not just some kind of space resting, you know, motionless. And so the dynamo, yeah, it's organic, but it's also ever alive. It's filled with livingness, not motionless. Yeah, I mean, it's before shimmering. It's basically, you know, it's before any light, but it's like shimmering. It's the livingness of infinity that is the basis for intelligent energy's very vibratory nature. The vibratory, shimmering, dancing thoughts nature of intelligent energy, which is the precursor to the seven dimensions. That vibratory motion, or motion of vibration, shimmering, is traced back to the very livingfulness of intelligent infinity that is the basis for that discernment of the concept of affinity, which then mobilized its infinite will by, I would say, the intrinsic desire that even gave rise to the discernment of affinity, the basic desire to discern, to see what can be seen, to be all that it can be, to express itself fully, or to continue living that to continue the livingness, the very livingness quality of intelligent infinity, is a kind of love or seeking. So that gave rise to light of the galaxies. Well, now you're getting like super abstruse, because there is some discussion in some metaphysical sources that most of the Creator is not in creation. Or all of infinite, what appears relatively infinite form-based creation, meaning countless galaxies, right? How many galaxies are there? Every galaxy has hundreds of billions of stars. And how many hundreds of billions of galaxies are there, you know, right? So there are hundreds and billions of galaxies that we can imagine counting, with hundreds and billions of stars and countless beings. All of that is a tiny portion of the infinite Creator. Most of the power of the infinite Creator is on the other side of the law of light. Infinite vibratory creation that all came out of the law of light is a tiny portion of the infinite will, love, power, beingness of intelligent infinity. Well, when people say shadow work, they're really talking, in my view, of particularly second and third chakra blockages. So you don't have second and third chakra blockages in the same way at the level of Atman. There, you can say that Atman, by being in sixth density and not being yet in eight, inevitably has blockages in its seven ray system. The idea being that if there were no blockages in the seven ray system, the entity would be in eighth density. I think that's reasonable. So Atman, in its seven ray, or the Atman is the sixth dimensional beingness of the seven dimensional total self. So the seven-dimensional total self is the seven-dimensional body's totality that Ra calls mind, body, spirit, beingness, totality complex, with three points, one being mind, body, spirit complex, here now in 3D space-time, Atman, higher self, in six, beingness, and then totality complex in seven. Those three points of awareness in the seven-dimensional mechanism, seven rays, seven bodies, of the octave self, intrinsically has subtle blockages by its very manifestation in the octave. And that when it gets out of the octave, we can say it has no seven-dimensional blockages. Okay, fine. But when people say shadow work, they're really talking about work on the personal subconscious, which is mainly second, third chakra blockage issues in mind. Yeah. Well, the thing is, what we're calling shadow work here for human being, I think, mainly second, third chakra blockage release or healing, psychopathology, emotional wounding, core beliefs, issues of selfhood and relation, self and self relations. That work is the below of the as above for Atman. The correlate for Atman is probably its work helping third density or helping mind, body, spirit evolve back into Atman. And so, in some way, its awareness, its six-dimensional awareness, represents the light to the shadowed condition of the evolving mind-body-spirit complex in lower than six dimensions. I don't think that there's no higher self that is service to self. There's no Atman that is on the negative path. Because in early sixth density, there's a switchover. Yet, Ra had talked about Crowley as being positive at the base of his beingness. Now, clearly there are some beings that got to sixth density on the negative path. It seems to me that if Ra said, there are two ways to take that. The way I've taken it is Crowley's higher self got to its level of higher self on the positive path and therefore is called positive at the base of beingness. The other way is that all entities are positive at the base of the beingness by the very nature of higher self being not on the negative path. However, there is a negative path. And if entities do hardcore negative work like Crowley did, you would assume they would be qualified to get into 4D negative or getting close. You know, like Genghis Khan and Rasputin. If all Atman is positive at the base of beingness, why did Crowley go to hell and, Rasputin go to 4D negative? I don't know. But when Ra said positive at the base of beingness seems to imply to me that all Atman, that Atman got there by two different paths, and though 10% of the souls in the galaxy that go on the negative path may be called negative at the base of beingness, even though that higher self is no longer on the negative path. So any kind of shadow work of the higher self is, I don't think, comparable to what we call shadow, because it's certainly not second, third chakra blockage, but it's perhaps its metaphysical responsibility for the still and shadowed mind-body-spirit complex evolving up through lower densities to six. And you can also say that the very essential work of sixth density Atman, which includes helping mind-body-spirit complex evolve, is, as Ra said, balancing, subtle balancing of love-wisdom. And that subtle balancing includes its helping of evolving mind-body-spirit complex, but that subtle balancing is a making its own imbalances balanced or bringing light to its own shadow so that its own, whatever shadow we can say is in Atman, it's the shadow of as yet unbalanced love-wisdom tendencies. And that, to me, is basically working on the final three fetters in Buddhism. And so last three fetters are basically self-conceit, restlessness, and avidya, or basic ignorance, which is ahamkara, or identity fashioning, and basic intelligent energy restlessness, instability, and the basic avidya, probably of being in an octavic body. Ahamkara is just self-identity fashioning. Oh yeah, collective ahamkara. Yes, you can say that. You see, the level of selfhood, the quality of selfhood at higher self is called unified self. While we here in 3D space-time experience dualistic self. But that dualist, the expression of dualistic self, or the experience of dualistic selfhood, goes to the experience of unified selfhood at higher self or sixth density, having utilized social memory complex, collective selfhood. So there's collective dualistic selfhood in the fourth and fifth density social memory complex. Then there's unified collective selfhood in the sixth density collective social memory complex, right? It's a collective unified selfhood. While there's, you know, so there's collective dualistic and collective unified selfhood. The dualistic collective selfhood is 4 and 5 density. The unified collective selfhood is 6 density. After that, you have, you know, the end of identity in 7. And that's why Ra, really, when they spoke about 7th density totality complex, it was very depersonalized. It was basically a resource, not a guy, not like a teacher. It was more of an infinite reservoir or computer, almost, of total potential knowing, or potential total knowing, that was like the spirit complex to higher self, in my view, and depersonalized. When you get to 8th density, I think there may even be a repersonalization somewhat. But the idea that, you know, Nityananda became a force of nature. And if you've ever seen really great teachers, they are very depersonalized. They're very transpersonal, in the sense that this is not a guy anymore. And I can see it. And, you know, you can say I'm fooling myself, but I think I can see what that is. Which is, I have direct experience seeing some of these guys where I can see there's no personhood left in that mind. The identifications with personality, with personhood, are gone. There's no personhood identity in that being's expression, seems to me. And very, very, there are almost no teachers like that. Because, you know, that's similar to Gautama and Nityananda. And they have transcended unified collective selfhood, or unified self collectivity. And 7th density, there's no more social memory complex. There's no more social or memory. And there's not much of a complex going on either. I don't know. It's not that there's a limit to its knowing. It's that the knowing that's called memory empties out into a near infinite present moment. Infinite presence equals no memory and no future. Memory is basically knowing of so-called past. The so-called past and so-called future are finished in 7th density, but the knowing is not unavailable. It's just experienced in a living present moment, that of boundless presence. Okay, so thanks for your questions today, and please take good care of yourselves. See you next time, and good night.